Philippians chapter 3. We're on part 10 of Philippians chapter 3. And I'm not going to do a whole summary. I've done that almost every time. If you want to make up the last lessons, you're more than welcome to. Dan and Roxanne, love you guys. Say this all the time. Take care of our website, which is, ladies and gentlemen, gracechristiancenter.us. Very good. Very good. This is Philippians Faith chapter 3. Philippian Faith part 10, and we're on chapter 3. And I'm going to go through verses 7 through 14 this morning, 7 and 8. A couple of these are reminder verses of where we were a couple of weeks ago. The 1890s to the early 1900s, maybe to 1910 or so, they were to the 1920s, was the heyday for the carousels. How many remember the carousels? There's one up in Spokane. We were over in on the eastern Washington side. Spokane's Riverfront Park has a carousel that was built actually in 1905. And it's still operable. It was in one particular park through 1965. Then they moved it after they shut it down. And Riverfront Park opened up in about 1974. And it's been going ever since. And with every pass, anybody ever ride on a carousel? Okay. Every pass, did you sit on the outside? And what did you grab for? Remember? The ring. They would stick up this arm and you could take from the rings and go, and when you go and buy it. And if it was what color, if it was the gold or the brass ring, what did that do for you? Anybody remember? You got a free ride. And what if you didn't get the brass ring? What'd you do? You what? You threw it in the bin, and lots of places they had the big clown's mouth that was open, and you'd compete with yourself and everybody else too, but you'd go back and pitch those things in and try to get them in the hole. Anybody ever enjoy doing that?
Oh, sure.
And around the time of the heyday of the carousel was when the phrase developed, go for the brass ring. Reach for the brass ring. Grab for the highest. Go for the very best. This will tie in, but Washington State University had one of the greatest baseball coaches in the history of college baseball. Anybody remember what his name was? Bobo Brayton. You ever hear of Bobo? Okay, the rest of you are looking at me going, you're talking about a gorilla. I have no idea. Anyway, Bobo Brayton was there for quite a long time, and he was quite a guy. And he told a story one time at a Rotary lunch where he talked about, I look for a player who, when a mistake is made, doesn't fall apart and look down on the ground and keep looking down all full of shame. Because if he does that, he's going to make another mistake right away. So I look for the player who gets right back up and goes for it. This third story will tie in. My wife, when she was alive, had a favorite movie. This may sound a little carnal, but it was her favorite movie. And I knew that if I wanted date night to go right, about every couple of years I could pull out this movie. And it was Top Gun. Anybody remember Top Gun? Top Gun. The Need for Speed, yeah. Living in the danger zone, you know, all that. You know, boy, am I dating myself. That's about right. I'm dating myself nowadays. That's about right. Anyway, remember after the character Goose died in their plane wreck, Maverick, the Tom Cruise character, fell to pieces. He couldn't get back up in the saddle. He couldn't get going again. The shot was never right. He couldn't take the shot, etc. And there was quite a bit of tension right up to the very end. And we wondered whether he'd get back in the saddle again. And how many remember how the movie came out? Tom Cruise grabbed the brass ring and became an international star still today. But he was able to get back up and go again. Grab the brass ring. What is your brass ring? What?
Jesus.
What's your brass ring in Jesus Christ? In your walk with the Lord? What is your goal? Are you continuing to grab for the brass ring in the Spirit of the Lord? Hear Paul's heart as we come to the main heartbeat, some of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, the heartbeat of this section in the book of Philippi. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Now, I'd like you to open your own Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, I'd like you to go ahead and open your own Bible to see it from your own Scriptures. I'm going to have a couple of other Scriptures up there, but I want you to find Philippians in your own Bible. If you don't have one, raise your hand and have somebody around you get one for you. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Mark it. And this is rehearsal for where we were last time. But what things were gained to me, remember the Apostle Paul says, these things I have counted what? Loss for Christ. Well, wait a minute. Paul had the right pedigree. He was a Jew of Jews. He was born to Jewish parents, had a fantastic education in Tarsus. He was one of the leaders. He would have been destined to be one of the greatest leaders Israel had ever known. And God changed his plan, didn't he? God changed Paul's plan. And Paul says, everything I had going for me, I counted as loss. Why? Why? What drove him? What was Paul's brass ring? Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. It's all loss compared to knowing Jesus, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. And I count them as rubbish. Remember, the conflict was with the Judaizers. Those who were coming saying you had to become a Jew, you had to be circumcised, then you could become a Christian. We have the God market. The Judaizers would walk around and say, we're already complete and perfect. And Paul is writing to his sons and daughters in the faith in Philippi, and he's saying, I'm not perfect, and neither are they. There's more growth yet. Anybody in this room have more growth in your walk with Jesus? How many in this room are just like Jesus? A little more mind changing, mind transformed to the mind of Christ. A little more attitude changing. A little more, okay, I'm not trying to condemn you, but you can look up at me. It's okay. Just agree with me. We're not like Jesus fully yet. Okay? But I count all those hot things, all those great things, and your background and your career and your education, it's all wonderful. But it pales in knowing Jesus. Amen. I count them as rubbish, he said, that I may gain Christ, be found in him, not having my own righteousness. I'm not going to save myself. I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, which is from the law. I'm not going to be saved by keeping the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Paul counted all his abilities, all his training, who he was, his pedigree, his background, all he did, his accomplishments, everything lost for the privilege of knowing Jesus. Why? What was his goal? What was his purpose? What was his brass ring? What was Paul's destiny? Number one, I want to say it with me, please. Know Jesus. Come on, say it with me. Boom it out. I want to know Jesus. Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11. Hopefully you have it in front of you there. That I may know. Say it with me. That I may know. One more time. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. If anything stands in the way of knowing Jesus, get rid of it. Come on, I'm going to say that again, and you get to say, preach it, Pastor Kev. If anything stands in the way of knowing Jesus, get rid of it. Some of you didn't remember what I said to say to me, did you? All right. I don't want anything to hinder me or stop my walk or turn me aside. Can you say that with me? I don't want anything to hinder my walk with Jesus. What do you give your passion to? Your pursuit? Music? Pets? Jobs? Money? Hobbies? Kids? Organizations? Does what you're doing further and expand your growth walk with Jesus and bring you closer to him? Or does it distract you and lead you farther away from him? So you don't have time to read the Word, You don't have time to pray, don't have time to fellowship with Him or His people. What is your true priority in life? Gets done. Look at each other and say, your real priority gets done. Paul counted everything but loss to know Jesus. And that word know is the Greek word gnosko. Can you say that with me? Gnosko. It means to hear Him, perceive Him, to know Him, to be aware of Jesus, to personally experience Him. I had such a great time with my family last week. We're sitting at the spaghetti factory, and butter and mozzarella cheese. You know, every now and then I just have to go for it. Anyway, so butter and mozzarella cheese. I'm sitting at the head of the table, and David's on this side, and the rest of the family's around, and my 11-year-old grandson, Devin, is right next to me on this side. And we're sitting here between bites, we're having a good time, and all of a sudden, Devin looks at me and he goes, Papa Kev? And I'm chowing down, yep, having a great time. Yes, son? What is it? You know, and he looks at me and he goes, how do you hear from God?
I went,
this spaghetti waits for next year. And I'm sitting there, and we had a fantastic talk about how to hear from the Lord. And Eli and Samuel, and speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And it doesn't happen right away, as Samuel had been there for a while. But you know, you get your heart right with God. And I had the privilege of praying with them to give their lives to Jesus a year ago. And I followed up on that. And then you make sure your walk's right with Jesus. And you're doing everything you know to obey Him. We're not saved by works. But, you know, you want to make sure you're right with God. And then you ask Him to speak to you and listen. One of the most thrilling questions I've ever been asked as a human being, much less coming from my own grandson. Yeah. So, does what you're doing lead you and further your personal experience with Jesus? Paul says, I want to know Him. The power of His resurrection. The power word is the word dunamis. How many know what word comes from dunamis? Dynamite, explosive power, the dynamic dynamite, the miraculous power and influence of Jesus and His Spirit in my life. Church, I don't want to live business as usual. Business as usual isn't changing the earth. Amen? So we need a fresh sense of the power and the presence of God. I want to know Him and I want His power involved in my life. I want to hear Him. I want to see Him. I want to feel His presence. I want Him to know me. I want to pray and know that He hears me. I want to be with Him every day. Serious business. I wake up. He's not leaving me. I wake up and He's with me. But I want to hear the voice of God. This means sometimes, church, we need to get rid of some of the distractions.
Amen?
Amen? Especially if it's sin. Now, how many know not every distraction you do is sin? There's a lot of fun things we do in life. But if you take it to extreme, it can become sin. Each of us, in the quietness of our own hearts, know if we have something going on that doesn't please God. Watch this out of Hebrews, and this one is up here for you to see. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every what? Every weight and the what? Sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and the what? The author and the? It's important how you start, but church, it's important how you end up. Where is your life taking you today? The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Well, that pretty well confronts all of us in the room, don't you think? That's pretty confrontive. You haven't stopped against sin so strongly that you're bleeding. Well, okay. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't be discouraged when you're rebuked by Him. You know, bad circumstances come to all people, right? Sometimes those circumstances come and they're a test of our character to see if we will come closer to Jesus, walk with Him through it, learn how not to complain. Anybody like me trying to learn how not to complain at times? Okay, it's an education, right? It's an ongoing education. I don't think I'm alone in this, right? Okay, sometimes we bring it on ourselves. So sometimes life happens and we learn how to respond. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves. Anybody ever do a stupid doofus sin? Not just sin. Sin's bad. It's all stupid doofus, but a really stupid doofus sin? Sometimes, then the Lord allows the result to come on us. Come on. Sometimes, we did it ourselves. Oh, Lord, how could you let this happen? And He looks at you and goes, "Yoo-hoo, honey, I didn't want that to happen. But you did that." So are you grateful for the grace of God? Lord, forgive me. That's what you get to do. Then you repent of sin. You say, "Forgive me, Jesus, for being such a stupid doofus guy doing a stupid doofus sin. Wash me clean." The grace of God sees us through these. You can do it. You can get rid of sin by the grace of God. So we pray, and we pray for one another, and you can come on up after the service and give your life to Jesus if you haven't done that yet. And you can ask for prayer. We pray for one another, and we encourage each other. We're committed at Grace Christian Center to helping you grow in your walk with Jesus and helping each other be freed from sin. Aren't you glad to be in a family like that? He says, I want to know of His resurrection power in daily life. I want God involved in my life. I want to hear Him, just like my grandson Devin. How do you hear from God? I want to hear God. I've started in my own private prayer. Now some of you know me as quiet and shy. Okay, none of you know me that way. Okay. Some of you know me as I'm already kind of loud. But the Bible says, "Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion." And I've started crying out more. I'm driving down the highway. I'm sure I look like a freak to those coming the other way. But I'm crying out to God. And you know something? I've seen the Lord begin to answer more prayers. It's not a work. I'm just telling you, it's what He's doing. And I've seen Him begin to answer more prayers. As I've cried out to Him, and not just holding it in and being silent, but crying out to God, who wants to hear my heart and your heart. He died and rose again to be with us. All right? I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. Well, that doesn't mean I'm going to try to go through what Jesus went through. There are some who, of the Catholic persuasion, especially in places like the Philippines, who do go through that every year around Easter time. They impale themselves on crosses and the stigmata and all of that kind of stuff. That is not what the Lord's after. Our Bible shows us God is a God of grace and mercy. He took that punishment. How many are grateful you don't have to? So I'm not going to go to the cross and do those sufferings. It's His finished work that counts. But it means I need to appreciate what He's done with me and done for me. Pastor Carl preached about it and taught about it just last week. I need the depth of understanding what I deserve in order to be so grateful for what I receive. Anybody in this room grateful for mercy and grace? Mercy, not getting what I do deserve. Grace, getting what I don't deserve. It's all good news from God, isn't it? But this means fellowshipping with Him in appreciation for what He's done. And recognition that if they rejected the Messiah, I shouldn't be surprised if they reject the Messiah's disciple. That means I don't wimp out when the neighbors or somebody else or folks at the store start giving me a bad time because I love Jesus and I won't just go do what they want to do. It means I won't be still and silent when it's time to stand up and be counted. By the way, we love everybody. God so loved the world, and we love those who are choosing a homosexual lifestyle. But you need to be full of joy and gratitude over the fact that 100,000 signatures were needed and 250,000 signatures were gained to bring it to a vote of the people. What does that mean? That doesn't mean we don't hate anybody. We love everybody. God so loved the world. But there's righteousness according to the Scriptures to stand for. And thank God when it was time, we stood up to be counted. It may mean rejection and it may mean suffering, but am I really willing to compromise because I don't want to be uncomfortable? No. The Greek word here in the fellowship of his sufferings, the Greek word literally means I'm in partnership with his hardship and pains. All right? Being made conformable to his death, Paul says. I want that. And that Greek word is sumorpho'o. Sumorpho'o. Sounds a little like, and it leads us to the word metamorphosis, right? Metamorphosis. And metamorphosis happens. What happens in metamorphosis? There's a transformation, a whole life change. And metamorphosis, conformable to his death. Even if it's unpleasant, dying to myself and what I demand in my own way to be more like him. I want to ask again. I know I'm asking questions this morning. How many in this room want to be like Jesus? Then he keeps working with us and he keeps showing us things and keeps growing us up. I want to talk for a quick moment, then I'm going to go to another point, but I want to talk for a quick moment. We are here to influence the world for Jesus Christ. The Bible says we pray, even the Lord's Prayer, to bring His kingdom where? On earth as it is in heaven. That's why it's not just a life for someday in heaven. We're living Christianity now. But you need to know there are some people that it's not necessarily healthy for you to spend all your time with. If your priority is to be like Jesus, it doesn't mean you run away from people because you want to influence them to come to Jesus. But your deep fellowship time better not be with those who don't like your walk with Jesus or they're going to tear you down.
That's right.
If you can sit on a block of ice and melt it, you're doing fine. But if it turns your fanny cold, you better jump off. Okay? So sometimes there are some folks that you shouldn't hang in depth around. Oh, I go to the party on the block and I get drunk right with the best of them because I want them to see Jesus. All right, listen, I'm not saying the old-fashioned, don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with those who do. You know, we're going to influence people for Jesus. But you need to know the deepest fellowship time better be with those who can strengthen you in the Lord. Because this is a life-changing revival that is needed in our world today.
That's right. Amen.
You understand what I'm saying to you? There are some things I need to die to. And some things I need to let them die to me. Okay? All right, press on. Number two, press on, press on, press on. I don't act like I've got it together, Paul says, because I'm not there yet. And I'm not fully conformed to Jesus. My mind isn't fully transformed. These are not works for salvation. But I'm going to press on to know Him, is what Paul says. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not though I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. But I say it with me. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I'm not so complete, so I press on. Dioko is what the Greek word is. Say it with me. Dioko. It means pursue Him. I'm in church. I'm listening. I'm growing. I'm fellowshipping. I'm praying. I'm reading the Word. I'm singing. I'm worshiping. I am doing what He's given me to do in my daily discipline time with Him so I can see Him, know Him, and be like Him. The word in the Greek here is katalambano. Katalambano, and it means eagerly seize hold of what He's seized hold of me for. Eagerly seize hold of what He's called me for. He's got a purpose, a plan, and a destiny. Church, say amen. Don't let the devil shake you off.
Amen. Don't let the devil shake you off.
Amen. Forget the past and reach for your prize. Verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Say it with me. One thing I do. Say it with me. One thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The whole picture here, Paul's backdrop, Paul's understanding, the Greek terminology, is all about the runner at the Corinthian and the Olympian Games. Paul is saying, when you are running your race, those runners don't look back. Do they? Come on, they're not looking back. They're racing ahead. The Judaizers, who were trying to influence Paul's sons and daughters in the faith, who were saying they're perfect, they're not even up and running in the race. Paul says, I'm guarding over you. I care for you. Make sure everything that with everything that's in you, you're running your race and you're looking forward. And you're like that runner and you press forward for that which is ahead. Your goal, your destiny, the prize. Church, who's your prize?
Jesus.
Paul gave his life to the Lord 30 years before he wrote this letter to the Philippians, his daughters, his sons in the faith. He's running his race, but right now, how many bet that Paul would rather be free to travel Europe, Macedonia, and Israel, and the Middle East, and all of these places influencing the churches for Jesus, instead of stuck at Bedoga Bay? Stuck, that's an old joke. Stuck at a Roman prison. But Paul is still focusing forward. He could spend all his time looking back and go, look at what I did. Look at those churches. And oh, look at this. And no, he's facing forward. He says, I'm going to do everything I can. So I'm writing these letters to the church of Jesus so they're strong. I'm giving to the last ounce of strength within me. I'm running in a race. You may not know it to look at me now, but in school, for a while, I was part of a relay team, a track team. And four of us would run our race, and I was going to bring my baton with me here this morning. I bought a baton later in life, but it was always the part to practice was receiving the baton and passing the baton, because that's where the mistakes are made. And when you receive the baton, how many know what you're not supposed to do? Yeah, you're not supposed to drop it. That's true. You got it. How many know what else you're not supposed to do? You are up and running and you're in motion and you are pumping and you are driving your way down that track with this other arm extended behind you to get the baton. So you need a great passer. And you need a great receiver. And Paul says, I'm not looking back. Maybe you're like me, and in this room, a few of us have dropped the baton from time to time. Now, there's a couple ways you can respond. I'm quitting. I'm out of the race. You know what my coach always told me? Thank you. You were there. Pick it up. Go, 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 go. Right to the finish line. Keep running. You know what the word forget in here, the word forget in the Greek means to lose it out of mind by neglect. Some of the mistakes, sins that are under the blood and the things you hold on to, and you go, that's all I can think of. You need to neglect it long enough to forget it. Yeah. You need to forget it. It's behind you. Your race is before you. The sin and the error that's under the blood is behind you. Run your race. Run it. Finish. Right up to the finish line. God doesn't want you handicapped by past failures. Don't let past failures or even accomplishments or past problems destroy your race right now today. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the past. run your race. J. Vernon McGee, a great Bible teacher, watch this. Someone has well said that today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. And what good did it do you? Reaching forth, literally in the Greek, means stretching yourself forward. Come on, do that. Motions, church. Stretch yourself forward. Mess up the person's hair in front of you. No. Reaching forth, stretching yourself forward. Nehemiah came from Babylon after Israel had gone into captivity, or Judah went into captivity, and he came back to help them reestablish and rebuild their city and their walls after 70 years. The enemies accused him, harassed him, attacked him, and they tried to create fear in him and in Judah, and they wanted him to come and meet with them so they could talk over the work that he was doing and the progress, so they could distract him. And look at what he answered. I sent messengers to them, in Nehemiah 6 verse 3, saying, I am doing, please read it with me, a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Don't hang around people who harass your walk with God. Find new friends if you need to. Find new people to have a depth of relationship with. Don't hang around people that want to turn your faith cold, but turn them hot or turn them loose. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm not. I love people. But I found in my own life, I love some people that I can't hang around with because they don't want anything to do with my Jesus. I still want to influence them, still want to bring them to Christ. But fellowship, the depth, please understand the difference of what I'm saying. Doesn't mean I'm never with them, but the fellowship and depth time, reserved for those who are going to cheer you on in the Lord. Do you hear cheering crowds around you here this morning? People cheering you on in Jesus? Don't come down, Kevin. Don't come down, Dan. Don't come down, CC, Cinelaine. Don't come down, you guys. Stay up there. Keep running after Jesus. You're doing good. Christianity looks good on you. I love how you shared that verse. Hey, that praise report you gave, that was great stuff. Don't come down. Keep going. Keep running. Your race is right ahead of you. There's a finish line. You can do it. Someone say amen. Turn to each other and say, you can do it. You know, I recognize there's a song that says these words, and in some of us it's true. Some of us have more days behind us than we have now ahead of us. And that's simply a reality. How are you going to spend those days? Who are you going to influence? How are you going to live it? The author and the finisher of our faith. I press toward the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. That means I reach to the top prize, to the top rung, the brass ring. I'm reaching for it. The winner's wreath. Who's your brass ring?
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. And when I see him face to face, I want to be just like him. Or as much as I can get. Forget what's behind you. Let me give you three little thoughts about forget what's behind you. Place it with him. Whatever's bugging you, place it with Jesus. Then leave it with Jesus. And that's the hardest one. We give it to him, we keep taking it back, right? Come on. Leave it with him. And then forget it. Place it, leave it, forget it. Reach ahead to your destiny and hope. You got to see it in Jesus and how much he loves you and how much he's called you. See it in Jesus. Then you got to believe it in Jesus. Does he really have something good for me, Pastor Kev? Yes, he does. Believe it. Then you got to receive it. See it, believe it, receive it. Musicians, will you come? I'll do my best to tell you a story. True story that happened within the last few months. Ron Luce is quite a minister in our nation. And there were four young people who, spirit-filled, dedicated, sold-out Christians, most of them, I think, had been going to Oral Roberts University or graduated from there. And this daughter of Ron Luce and the guy that they kind of grew up together and knew each other, the guy who was with her, and there were two others as well, but the guy who was with her was a Marine. I think he was 25, 26 years old. And he was just a on fire for Jesus guy. And they were on their way flying to a conference and the plane wrecked. It's a true story. Fiery, fiery plane wreck. And this young Marine picked up Ron Luce's daughter and carried her out of harm's way, away from the wreckage of the plane, and set her down. And when the people came to talk to her later, she said, "It was him. The only reason I'm here is it was him." And that young soldier was burned over about 90% of his body, and then he died. I don't know what the end destiny is for any of us in this room. All I do know is, like this young man, he was running his race to his very last breath, bringing life, bringing help, and bringing hope. In his last breath and action taken on earth, I don't know. I happen to think that somehow when he saw Jesus face to face, the Lord reached out his arms and gave him a very special place right there with him. Don't you?
Yeah.
I just have to believe that. Church, forget the past. Reach forward to the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that he has for you and for me. And who's the prize?
Jesus.
Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning, and I pray your blessing upon your people. Lord, we pray that you will be exalted in our lives through everything we choose and do and say and be and as we go forward this week. Lord, I pray you would strengthen each one. And we thank you that we're going to make it.